Now we just continue here with really a little bit more of the same thing that we've had as far as the instructions go to Israel and so forth. So in verse 3, say unto them, that is Aaron and his sons, whosoever he be of all your seed among your generation that goes into the holy things which the children of Israel hallow unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, that soul shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord. And so this tells us of walking in the flesh. And of course God does not permit, cannot have fellowship with us if we, bluntly, if we smell like we've been in a hog pen. In other words, you must be cleansed. Really, and so the stench of some of this religious worship, it's just exactly that. It stinks in the nostrils of God. And so how it behooves us to walk in the Spirit. This is why that we read again. If we worship God, you must worship Him in the Spirit and in the truth. And you cannot worship Him in the flesh and in error. Therefore, it is so very important to learn the Word of God and to worship the Lord in the Spirit as being led by the Spirit. All right, verse 4. What man soever the seed of Aaron is a leper or has a running issue, he shall not eat of the holy things until he be clean. Whoso touches anything that is unclean by the dead, or a man whose seed goes from him. This would tell us, of course, touches anything that is unclean, or the one who has the running issue and so forth. It speaks of fellowship with the flesh, even with religious flesh. And notice if he touches any creeping thing. Again, we saw the creepers last week bringing out the things of Satan and the way that he creeps in, and he is unclean. But notice verse 6, the soul which has touched any such shall be unclean until evening, and he shall not eat of the holy things unless he wash his flesh with water. Now again, we come back to the very important thing, and that is that you cannot walk through this world without being defiled in some way. It is impossible to do it. And it's brought out in so many, many, many different ways. You can shut yourself up if you want to and live like a hermit, and yet there is still the defilement in the world. And so the only course that we can take is, as we do here, we must wash in the Word of God. And that is so very important for us today, to continually wash in the Word, that we would always be clean in order to worship God in the Spirit and of course in the truth. When the sun is down, he shall be clean, shall afterward eat of the holy things, because it is his food. In other words, God intends for this priest to have this food, but he must wash his body. He must be clean in order to partake of these wonderful things. All right, continuing in chapter 22, we read in verse 27, when a bull or a sheep or a goat is brought forth, then it shall be 7 days under the dam from the eighth day, and thenceforth it shall be accepted for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And you will find this so often in the scripture, that God does not accept anything that is not of the eighth day. And as we know, it tells us the eighth day being of the new creation. It's the resurrected, the resurrection day. So it is very important to realize that we're only accepted as a new creation in Christ Jesus. Chapter 23 records the different feasts, or as they are, I believe it said in the Hebrew, set times. Now, they didn't just pick out a month during the year and say, well, we're going to have feasts all this month. These were seven feasts that were observed throughout Israel's calendar year. And so in verse 1, the Lord spoke to these people, and in verse 2, the children of Israel, he said, concerning the feast or the set times, the Lord, which shall be, you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Now this Sabbath, it always speaks of the rest in Christ. Also it shows us the millennial reign of Christ, when God indeed rests from everything that he has done. And verse 4, these are the feasts. In verse 5, in the 14th day of the first month at evening is the Lord's Passover. This was the first feast that they were to observe every year. It was observed on the 14th day of the first month, which would have been the month Abib, corresponding to our month of April. And it tells of the beginning, as we noticed over when we studied this in Exodus. It speaks of the new beginning which Israel has, the judgment which was poured out upon Christ because of sin there at Calvary. And so we died in our substitute at Calvary. The firstborn was substituted for Israel. If you will compare Exodus 12 and verse 13, you will find this. And so they remembered the Passover, how that the Lamb substituted for all of the firstborn of Israel. All right, on the 15th day of the same month, they ate unleavened bread. And this is exactly what happens whenever we are born again. Then we begin to partake of Christ and learn to feast upon Him as the bread and the heavenly food that we are to partake of. Notice this was to be done for 7 days. They have some feast today. They say that really, when someone throws a party, they really throw one. It lasts for a week. Well, this one did the same. See, it lasted for 7 days. And the number seven is significant because it speaks of the perfection of the full appropriation or the perfect appropriation of Christ's life in ourselves. And so we continually eat, actually, of the Word of God, partake of Christ. The third feast is in verse 10. Speak to the children of Israel, when you become in the land which I give unto you, you shall reap the harvest thereof of the first fruits. This signifies, the first fruit always signifies that there is more to come. In other words, if there is a first, there must be a last. So it signifies that there is more to come. And it tells us of the resurrection of Christ in verse 11. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord. It tells us that Christ was waved in resurrection before God, and He was the first fruits, became the first fruits of them which slept, as we read in another place in the New Testament. In verse 12, He shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. This simply tells us that the death of the lamb was the basis of the resurrection. Of course, Christ had to die before He could be raised again. Not only that, but we know that the death of the lamb also was the basis for our resurrection or translation, whichever comes first in our case. Verse 13, the meal offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals. Again, this brings out the essence of resurrection. And it is mingled with oil made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. The wine, again, telling us of the joy of resurrection. And if we think we would be rejoicing because of the resurrection of Christ, think of the joy that the Father must have felt when Jesus came out of that grave and He came back unto His Father. Verse 15, you shall count after this and tomorrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths complete. And unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days. Now here is something else that God was doing. And it corresponds perfectly because this is the Feast of Pentecost. 50 days after Jesus was raised from the grave, you find out that the power of the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost. Well, 50 days after the first fruit, the Feast of First Fruit, signifying the resurrection of Christ, 50 days after this, we find they were to observe the Feast of Pentecost. And the word simply means 50. All right, so there were 50 days, and here's what happened in verse 16. You shall number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meal offering unto the Lord. All right, this simply meant that God was doing something new. And if you study the first few chapters of Acts, you will find some little hints that God is getting ready to do something new, to bring something new on His program. And that new thing is that He is switching over His dealings from the church, from the nation of Israel unto the church. All right, this is brought out in this particular portion of Scripture. Verse 17, you shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves. Those 2 wave loaves were the Jews and the Gentiles that were, of course, they were waved, or they had their resurrection provisionally with Christ. off two-tenths of the ills. Notice they shall be a fine flour, but they shall be bacon with leaven. Now, they are not unleavened the way that we found with the meal offering, but they are bacon with leaven. This simply tells us that the operation of leaven is stopped. You ladies know that whenever you put yeast in bread and you work it and work it and work it, and then you allow it to rise, and when you put it in the oven, that kills all of the rising action. It just stops right there. All right, God did the same thing. You see, the old man is not taken out of us root and branch, and we don't have any more trouble with the flesh. But we find that the operations of the flesh are judged, and this is what God did. Whenever he brought in the church and the new things that he was doing, we still are very much aware of the flesh of the old man, but we need not be in subjection unto that because God has judged that old man. So we find that the leaven has been baked in our lives, and we claim that baking victory every day, we might say, and obtain the victory. All right, they are the first fruits unto the Lord. Now, verse 18, you shall offer with the bread seven lambs. This tells us that the loaves are accepted only as the lamb is offered. In other words, because Christ was crucified there at the cross, then we are accepted, or we can become full loaves in him. And this was actually one offering. There were two wave loaves, but it was considered one offering. That simply tells us again that Jew and Gentile was made one, and they have been baptized into one body. That happened on the day of Pentecost. In other words, sometimes people get the baptism of the Spirit and the infilling of the Spirit mixed up as far as terms go. Paul says there is one baptism. That one baptism happened on the day of Pentecost when God baptized Jews and Gentiles into one body, even the body of Jesus Christ. Then Paul goes on to say in Corinthians, and have been made to drink of one Spirit. The drinking tells us of the individual infilling that we can have with the Spirit today. But there is only one baptism, and that is as we have here. The two wave loaves were actually made one offering, Jews and Gentiles, baptized into one body. All right, verse 18, then you shall offer the bread with these seven lambs. As I say, we're accepted in the Beloved, not according to our own works, and two rams for the burnt offering, and so on. In verse 20, the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the two lambs. Well, of course, we are waved in fellowship with God. In other words, we take our place in newness of life with Christ, been raised from the grave with Jesus. We have been buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the grave, we also should walk in newness of life. So you see, we take our place as having been raised or waved unto God the way that these loaves were. And then it is with the two lambs, that is, Calvary still, being the basis. We can offer ourselves unto God because of Calvary and for no other reason. Verse 21, you shall proclaim on the selfsame day, it may be an holy convocation unto you, you shall do no servile work therein. In other words, we had nothing whatsoever to do with being baptized into one body. It wasn't because I was so good or because I had so many wonderful works, but it was because of what God did in his own sovereign purpose. The fifth feast is in verse 24. Speak the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. All right, this was 4 months from our previous feast. And that 4 months intervening between the Feast of Pentecost and this one, which is the Feast of Trumpets, is what would be known as the Church Age or the Grace Age. All right, what happens at the culmination of that and the beginning of the next? Let's notice, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. Well, who would ever guess it? It speaks of the trumpet of the Lord, which sounds to signal the end of the church age and the beginning of the millennial age. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with what? The trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him. So shall we ever be with the Lord. this will be the Feast of Trumpets, and we are looking any minute for that particular trumpet. I just as soon blow it before I finish the next feast. But this one too is you can compare. Really, I do.
Amen.
All right, you can compare this, the Feast of Trumpets, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, because you see this does signal the beginning of the millennium, and the millennium is primarily for Israel, though the nations are included. And this one is next, the sixth feast. Oh, by the way, I want you to notice verse 25. You shall do no servile work therein. Well, this isn't hard to interpret at all, because we can't glorify our own bodies. When the trumpet sounds, we can't get up and begin to work up any kind of a spirit or transform our bodies. We find that they just rest with Christ, and He will transform them and glorify them. So we can do no servile work at all. It's all of grace, all right, and the power of God. Verse 27, on the 10th day of the 7th month there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls. As I say, this applies mainly to the nation of Israel, because it tells them the time when Israel as a nation will remember Christ and remember what He has done. In other words, they look back to Calvary. Now, in the end time, Israel will again offer sacrifices. But this time, it won't be looking forward to Calvary the way they did years ago, before Christ came. But they will be looking back and realizing what He has already done. And so it is here. You shall afflict your souls. It tells us of Israel's humble return to the Lord, accepting His wonderful grace. And then verse 28, you shall do no work. Well, Israel will be that way. Now, we realize this truth today, that we can't do anything to merit our own redemption. But Israel as a nation is not so humble. They think they can conquer the world, as it were, and they remind you almost of a little banty rooster. But they have so much courage, and they have so much of themselves. But in this time, they're going to realize they cannot save themselves. The nations are going to teach them that lesson, that they're just going to be shut up to the mercy of God. And then they will come to the place where they will do no work in that selfsame day. It is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. And they will realize that they must accept Him. They will look upon Him whom they have pierced, and they will accept Jesus Christ and the grace which God has to offer them. Verse 29, whatsoever soul it shall be that day that shall not be afflicted in that day, he shall be cut off from his people. And this is the same thing, means the same thing then as it does now. Anyone who tries to work for their salvation, Jesus terms as a thief and a robber. They do not come at the gate of salvation, which is Jesus Christ Himself. They're going to bear their own iniquity. And if people try to bypass the cross in that day, well, they just seal their own doom. The next one and the last one is verse 7. It tells us dispensationally of the millennium. Verse 42, you shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. This tells us of the time that God will protect Israel, even during the millennium, and especially those first years after they turn to the Lord, and how He does protect them and deliver them from the nations. And they just dwelt in these little brush arbors. They were at the mercy of all of the elements, we might say. But it tells us of the fact that God was able to protect them. He was able to shield them. And Israel will realize this as a nation when God gets through with them and during and after the tribulation. Chapter 24, we find in verse 2, command the children of Israel, they bring unto thee pure oil of olive, beaten for light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. Now, the olive oil itself, it tells us of the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we noticed before, how that Christ was beaten in order that we might obtain that oil. But Israel bringing that oil is the thing we want to notice. And we do the same thing. That is that we bring the light of the Holy Spirit unto the rest of the world. In other words, we are the vessel that He uses today. We become witnesses of Christ because of the Holy Ghost, and as Jesus said, you shall be witnesses unto me after you're filled with the Spirit, and how that we are. As we're filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, we become great witnesses, and Peter is a good example of this. The boldness that man had after he was filled with the Spirit is remarkable. Verse 7, you shall put pure frankincense upon each row that may be on the bread for a memorial. This tells of the showbread that was put upon the table. It tells us, of course, as we've seen before, Christ as the life sustainer always before God. And verse 10 is an interesting little story. The son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel, and this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. There are two different factions that are brought out at this point as far as the time of Christ. The son of an Israelitish woman and his father was an Egyptian. This tells us of Israel being influenced by the world, that is, influenced by the Egyptian father. And he went out and he began to fight with a man of Israel. And this tells us of true Israel, also of Christ. And so we know that there was such a conflict in Jesus' time, men striving against him. We know it was the spirit of the age, even when he was there, and finally he was placed on the cross. Well, what verse 14? We find again something interesting. Bring forth him that has cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him with stones. Now, of course, we know that this does speak of Christ's rejectors, as we noticed a moment ago. But it also speaks of something else here, and this is one important part. That is that the law must be obeyed. They couldn't just do their best, as people have been prone to say today. Well, now, God gave the law, and really the only thing he expected was people to do the best that they possibly could to keep it, and that was sufficient. Well, it was not sufficient. If the law was broken, then someone had to pay. And so if men broke the law, then the debt had to be paid under that law. It had to be obeyed. And that is one example of it. In chapter 25, we read of the seventh year. I believe they call this the sabbatic year. But anyway, verse 6, 6 days shall you sow your field, 6 days you shall prune your vineyard and gather the fruit thereof. But the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. You shall neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. This shows the millennial age, whenever it is a time of rest and everything comes to come to a halt. They were not supposed to even farm their lands in that time at all. And I think we'd have been better off would have stayed with that. Verse 11, this is the year of Jubilee. And this happened every 50 years. And here is the significance of that. Verse 11, the 50th year shall be Jubilee unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which grows of itself in it, nor gather the grapes of the vine. It is the Jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this Jubilee you shall return every man unto his possession. Now this is the unique thing about the year of Jubilee. On the sabbatic year they were just to let the land rest. But in the year of Jubilee, everything went back to its original owner. In other words, as you know, the ability of the Jew to get gain. Well, if you find one Jew that was a better Jew than another one, then he got all of the gain. But at the end of every 50 years, I don't care if he had piled up everything from all the rest of the nation, he had to give it back. And their stock market went up and down according to the year of Jubilee. Now you can read the rest of this chapter. We'll read some of verse 14. If you sell aught unto your neighbor or buy aught of your neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, you shall buy of thy neighbor, and according to the number of the years of the fruits, he shall sell unto thee. In other words, if it was only 2 years until the Jubilee, a man would be ignorant for paying full price for a parcel of land because he was just going to have to give it back. Now, if last year was the Jubilee, then you could pay full price for it and you'd get about 49 years out of it, you see. That's a good way to do things. I doubt if you find any of these politicians that'll make you a bargain like that today, though. But the reason for that was, of course, to keep everything in the tribes of Israel and keep things very well balanced. But to us, it signifies, again, something very wonderful, and that is that the year of Jubilee signifies the time when Jesus is going to take everything that is his. And so this is no time to sell out to the flesh. because those things are not worth 2 cents. Buy up the spiritual things, those things which are which will last. Lay up your treasures in heaven, and those things that we will enjoy with Christ and share conjointly in His glory. So